Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch them.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hour two. Fascinating story on ESPN.com by Jeff Passan, who has now moved to ESPN. Said that there are a range of changes being discussed by Major League Baseball and the Players Union. And coming up in an owner's meeting, some of these might be voted on, and you might start to see these in the next year or two. And I'm here to tell you, I think a lot of these have a real chance, and I think we're about to get real movement on some real things, and I'll tell you why in a second. But anyway, here are the rule changes. And I'm going to list them in order of how Passan lists them, because there's a method to this. Okay, one, a three-batter minimum for pitchers.
I'm in.
Okay, three-batter minimum. So you bring in a reliever, he can't face one batter and leave. He's got to face three. Your starter has to face three. The only exceptions are it for an injury or the end of the inning. Okay, so you bring in a pitcher to face a batter with two outs and he gets the last out, you can bring in a new pitcher to start the next inning.
Right, because it doesn't require a mid-inning pitching change. Saves time.
Three-batter minimum for pitchers. A universal designated hitter.
I'm in.
A single trade deadline before the All-Star break.
I'm in.
A 20-second pitch clock.
I'm in.
The expansion of rosters to 26 players, over 25 currently, with a 12-pitcher maximum.
I'm in.
Draft advantages for winning teams and penalties for losing teams, i.e., basically flipping how every draft, in some respects, is done in any other league, where they're going to improve draft positions for some winning teams and hurt draft positions for some losing teams.
Love it.
Okay. There's a study to lower the mound and a rule that would allow two-sport amateurs to sign a major league contract, blah, blah, blah. That's for that Oklahoma quarterback, whatever. Okay. Here's what has happened. Let me just sum this up for you. They're horse trading.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, because some benefit the players, some benefit the owners.
They're horse trading. And it's so artful how Passan did this. Passan, you told me off the air, isn't the favorite of Major League Baseball. But I feel like this comes straight from Major League Baseball because Manfred has been really reluctant to force the pitch clock down the player's throat. He can do it unilaterally. He doesn't want to demand it. He doesn't want to unilaterally do it. He wants to make it a part of an agreement and a negotiation. So the headline on this story is not pitch clock coming. When Passan lists the rule changes, he buries the 20-second pitch clock in the middle of the whole thing next to these other sort of smaller rules because he doesn't want to give the impression. Baseball doesn't want to get the players' backs up by saying, we're doing a pitch clock whether you like it or not, and here it comes. And so even the way the whole story is framed, I think, gives that impression. But the 20-second pitch clock and the three-batter minimum are huge for baseball.
Massive.
Pace of play. Let's move. Let's, you know, the game is ground to a halt. We all acknowledge it, okay? So, boys, throw the ball and quit changing pitchers and let's play. And the league's going for it. So, what have they done in exchange for that? They expand the rosters from 25 to 26. Give the union 30 more jobs. That's all for the players. The universal designated hitter? I'm not sure why the union wants it, but the union wants it.
Well, it's a higher paid position than the 25th scrub on the roster. The DH is going to make more money.
There it is.
Yeah, so that's what it is.
It's the average salary, but
it extends the career of a veteran player because a veteran player can DH instead of having to play the field.
It ensures like a bum but a hack like Kyle Schwarber has a gig. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's beneficial for the players.
But you're bringing in one hack batter versus a hack pitcher. It's not an extra job, but I think Maz is closer to the bone. Higher average salary.
Absolutely. Yeah, a veteran guy. It's going to be typically be a veteran guy who can't play the field anymore who can hit. He's going to make money.
Okay. The earlier trade deadline.
Love it.
Okay, the earlier trade deadline, the union wanted it. The union wanted it. And according to Passan, here's their rationale. An earlier trade deadline could force teams to emphasize the first half, which might force them to focus more in the offseason on acquiring players via free agency versus waiting for the trade deadline, and you get a more competitive league, and the union thinks that that's to their advantage to have an earlier trade deadline and only one. Remember, you know, they have the real deadline, then this forkakta non-waiver deadline. Just make it one, make it before the All-Star break. That's the union's idea. Then there's also, they tacked on these two little things at the end. Another proposal would end all spring training games that are tied after the 10th inning and use spring training and All-Star games as testing grounds for a rule that starts a runner on second base in the 10th inning of tied games.
Look, I've been screaming for this one as it pertains to the All-Star game for a long time. You want people to watch the All-Star game? Make it a laboratory.
But so why I think this has a real chance is because there's horse trading. Guys, we're getting the pitch clock, and I'm sorry. If you go out there, you got to face three batters. We got to speed this up. And the players say, well, what's in it for us? Okay, we'll give you the universal DH. We'll move up the trade deadline because you want it. We'll give you 30 extra jobs taking rosters from 25 to 26. You don't have to stay there all day for spring training games. Not that the starters do anyway, but after 10 innings, we'll get out of here. So you don't have to stay all day for the spring training games. And it's a horse trade.
Well, and the other thing is going forward, we will use spring training games and the All-Star game to try out some of these things so you can see them. You can see them in their actual implementation. The best players in the game in the All-Star game and also in spring training, everybody gets to see it. So we see whether we like it or not.
So let me just explain one more and then I want your thoughts, Maz, because this one is fascinating about the flipping the draft positions for bad teams versus good. Low revenue teams that succeed, whether by finishing above 500 or making the playoffs, would be given greater draft positions or bonus pools under the union's proposal. The union wants this. The union suggested that teams that lose 90 plus games in consecutive years could be affected negatively in the draft. So this totally flips how drafts usually work. And this is all to de-incentivize tanking. So the owners say, clock, speed up the game, no relief changes in exchange. 30 more jobs with expanded rosters. We'll move up the trade deadline. We'll universalize the designated hitter. And we'll do this thing with the draft so fewer teams are tanking. And this gives me hope that they're actually going to do the pitch clock. And not a 30-second pitch clock that I would have been okay with.
20.
Your thoughts, Mass.
I love it. I told you, I went through the whole list. And I went, wait a minute. I think I have pine tar in my shorts. Something sticky going on. Like I saw the whole thing and I said, this is, you know, I love every single one of them. And the fact is, as I went through the list, I said, well, there are some for players here and there are some for owners. So they're in the middle of a collective bargaining agreement. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's three more years. I think it's up at the end of 2021. So to open it now, you've got to make a deal. You got to give both sides a reason to open up the CBA and change the rules. Now, some of these things, first of all, I have doubts. I always have doubts when it comes to baseball and its willingness to act swiftly. Okay, always. Because they never do anything fast. It takes forever, and this has already taken forever. But there's a couple things that I have doubts on that I'm willing to see, like lowering the mound. Okay? The way it's phrased is a study to lower the mound. Good.
Because there's too many strikeouts.
Right, and exactly. So this is what they did in 68. They raised the mound. The averages all dropped to the floor. So they brought it back down. Maybe now you have to bring it down further. Maybe this is one of the things now. You know, the pitching is advanced and angles and everything else, and they know how to manipulate it. So study it first. Let me see what it looks like. I'm leaning towards yes.
Lowering the mound also de-emphasizes launch angle, which can kiss the inside of my ass too. Right? Doesn't that de-emphasize the whole thing? Less you're throwing.
Sure, the ball will come in at less of an angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It won't be as acute. So, in theory, it'll be easier to hit, right? And hit for average. So, I want to see how that works. Like, so there's some stuff I look at and say, I want to see how it works. Another one is the trading deadline thing. Okay, fine. Moving it up, I like the idea. And you want to make a deal, you're going to do it by July 31st. Except.
Well, no, they said All-Star break.
Okay, All-Star break. I said, you know, off the top, instinctively.
July 10th, whatever.
Right, okay, so say All-Star break, even better. But I wonder how that'll affect free agency. Because right now you might have a smaller market team that says, well, we can move him. And he'll clear waivers so we can move him after the break and save money because the contract's big. So we're really not going to pay the $20 million. We're only going to pay $12 million. Well, what if they have to move him earlier and then it complicates it? So to me, there's some stuff there that I want to see how it plays out. But overall, we give you this, you give us that. Now we're getting somewhere.
So, and it's what Manfred wanted from the start. He didn't want to unilaterally bring in that pitch clock. But the fact that they're giving the players this stuff tells me, well, there's a chance now.
I mean, the extra roster spot in the DH in the National League, those are big things. I mean, there's money there, right? Just do the math. The average player salary in the big leagues is $4.5 million, or call it $5 now, for crying out loud. So that's 30 jobs. That's another $15 million. And then the DHs are going to move over to the National League. 15 guys.
You go from the 11th million. Pitcher to a guy who bats fourth.
Right. Who's going to make $12 to $15 million on average, probably guaranteed.
Right.
So you're going to get a lot more money flowing into the game.
Okay, so there's your baseball thoughts. I thought that was an interesting development there in Major League Baseball. One of the few that has happened the entire offseason. You want to weigh in on that? By all means. The Anthony Davis, Jason Tatum discussion, by all means. The Bruins thought, by all means. To you right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
Do you think all the external stuff, the trade deadline, the thing in the locker room the other night, do you think that has affected the psyche of this group?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of guys that's been in trade talks the last couple of weeks that's never been in that position before. So you have to ask those guys and how they're dealing with it. You can't really ask me. I've never, been a part of that, but I've been a part of teammates. I know it has to be tough on a lot of our guys, especially our young guys. Right now they've just never been a part of it, and they're hearing it every single day. And I know that the worst thing that you can do right now is be on social media. And I know all young guys love social media. So, that definitely can't help.
Words to live by there. But again, it's just interesting. All those rumors swirling with... It only matters one lick in terms of the Lakers and their championship aspirations. They're going to get guys. Question is who and when. So the fact that the young guys can't take the trade rumors means absolutely nothing. Frankly, it means nothing. But certainly they're freaked out by the trade rumors because LeBron suffered the worst defeat he's ever suffered last night in Indiana, of all places, which had sort of, imploding themselves since that Oladipo injury. So we continue with your trade deadline thoughts and some of this other stuff that we've hit on. Luke in Vermont, would you trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis?
Felger, you changed the question. The poll question says, with no assurances for Anthony Davis.
Right.
So people come out and say no, and then you're like, these people wouldn't take Jason Tatum over Anthony Davis like it's a one-on-one. You have to add that in, that part of the poll question. Those people aren't trading Tatum for 1 year of Anthony Davis.
Exactly. There's...
Of course, if it's even, they would. You hate Danny Ainge so much. You're urging the Pelicans to trade with the Lakers because you just can't stand the idea of Ainge winning again.
So how come every critical piece of commentary turns into you hate the Patriots? I hear that, I hear that from everyone. I hear that I hate baseball and I hate the Red Sox. The Bruins people think I hate the Bruins. The Patriots people think I hate the Patriots and Bill Belichick. And you think I hate Danny Ainge and the Celtics.
Tonality problem.
Turns out you're all right, but can you grow up? You're all right. Every one of you. But why I hate you? Because of that. Because of that thing. You hate the Celtics. Grow up, Luke. Come on. You're better than that. You're better than that.
Okay. I would, but you just took it to a little bit of an extreme, urging the Pelicans to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Like, it makes sense. Everyone's saying it makes sense to wait. They're going to wait.
No, but no. I would if you were listening, I said they don't have to trade him to the Lakers, but if I'm the Pelicans, I'm not waiting on this pipe dream of Jason Tatum. Because there's too many things that can go on, and Jason Tatum, Danny Ainge would be stupid to trade Jason Tatum for 1 year of Anthony Davis. We all, like a lot of us feel that way. 75% of us feel that way. So for the Pelicans to expect Jason Tatum, I think is foolish on their part. So they don't have to trade him to the Lakers, but I wouldn't wait for Tatum if I were them.
I hear you. And it would be crazy to do it if he says I wouldn't. But if he says it's a tryout year and we'll see, then I would do it. I would love the idea of Kyrie and Anthony Davis together, but you have to have Kyrie re-signed in order to trade Tatum with no assurances from Anthony Davis. If you have Kyrie re-signed, I'd give up Tatum for the tryout year.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And of course, I'm curious, I don't know if you want to throw another poll question out there, but what do you think, Maz, the Green Teamer would say? All things equal, meaning you get Davis long-term. You can have Tatum long-term or Davis long-term.
50-50.
Oh, God. What is wrong with people?
So I'm telling you, Murray, I'm telling you, 50-50.
So hold on. Let's do it.
I need to know this one, too.
So
put it up.
Let's be fair. Let's put it up. Okay, Green Teamers, Celtic Nation.
See, because I'm telling you, the Celtic fan sees their own guy. They look at Jadon Tatum, and they see, like, the next, you know, I say Grant Hill as, like, someone like, because he was a player I liked. But they see the next wing scorer who's going to be, like, borderline unstoppable. They see Paul George or something like that.
They see Kobe is what they see. So, Jimmy, let's do it on all of our socials here. Okay?
A day of polls.
How's it framed?
Who would you rather have long-term, Jason Tatum or Anthony Davis?
Is that phrased fairly?
Phrased fairly. That's good.
Okay, prediction.
50-50.
Okay, let's try and get off the fence.
Okay, I'm telling you, it's going to... But I think 50-50 is a win for proves that Celtics fans are idiots. Sorry, too strongly worded. That's something you would have said.
It better
blind.
Be, it
better, blinded by green.
It better be close to 70-30 in favor of Davis. But I'm not going to be shocked if it's not.
51-49 Tatum.
Oh, God.
51 is my prediction. 51-49 Tatum. And again, the exit polling always comes in. We'll have a result for you in the next 5 minutes.
Fine. You want to play that game? 52-48.
Okay, very good. I think a slight majority of you would rather have Tatum long-term than Davis long-term. Because you love your guys.
Oh, yeah. No. Because he was green when he came out of the womb, and so you have to keep him forever.
Charlie in the car on a Bruins sock. Go ahead, Charlie.
I want the Russian. I want Artemi Panarin. Let me break it down for you. Next year, Bruins are $20 million under the cap, and that's with David Krejci going to be paid as your highest-paid player at $7.25 million. If I'm Don Sweeney, I'm calling Columbus. I'm offering him Krejci and Donato or Krejci and a first or second round pick, and I'm pushing Panarin to sign with us long term next season. So what do you think?
Well, you understand, Charlie, that he's a free agent. So why would you give that up when you just have to wait 2 months and sign him as a free agent and give up nothing?
Correct.
Now, unless you think that dealing Krejci's money is value add and you want to get rid of the money, and Columbus for some reason would want it, I mean that's a whole different discussion. But you can just wait for Panarin in the offseason. Unless you think you have real cup aspirations and you want him now, but in which case, the whole idea to get Panarin is to skate him next to David Krejci, isn't it? Even though I know he plays on the left side, but, I mean, just work with me to fill out your top six. I'm careful with Panarin.
He makes $6 million now, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to cost a lot of dough.
Russian guys scare me, man.
I mean, the other thing is, look, if you're going to spend that kind of cake, how many times he scored 30 goals?
I don't have him in front of me.
Okay. I don't know. I want a guy who's knocking on 40.
Now, Columbus is in it. Columbus is in the playoffs too. So I don't know how willing they are to deal him. Now, would I rent him? Would I rent him for a second round pick? Now we're talking. I'm not giving up another first. But, I mean, do they like Ryan Donato or Solaric or Heinen or Bjork or all this whole grouping of, I don't know what, those forwards down there. They like one of them? Would I rent him? Yeah, maybe I'd rent him. I'd rent, but you know, that big blockbuster, why would you do that when you can just sign him as a free agent in the offseason and give up nothing? We've got Dave and Wellesley on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Dave.
What's that quote from Batman? You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. That's what's happened to this team. And Kyrie is the source of it. I want him gone out of principle. I can't stand him. The cryptic messages, the statements, the taking days off, the wanting to make movies, the talking to LeBron, enough. I've had enough of it. I'd rather watch Brad Stevens, the nerdy coach, and his, you know, his gang of guys of the little engine that could. I'd rather see them play. And it kind of goes into what you said earlier, is that Celtics fans, and me included, at this point, I don't care if they win because the NBA, I'm being somewhat facetious,
go
but
ahead,
hear
go
me
ahead.
Out. The NBA, just the nature of it, is such a hateable sport. The players are hateable. Kyrie, I'm hearing about Anthony Davis' daddy and where he wants him to play. LeBron is enough. I mean, they are so unlikable that for me, it makes me almost resent them. So all of those guys, enough. I can't stand it. It makes me want to pull my hair out.
I think it's a good call, Dave. And I don't know if I totally agree or not, but the NBA is insufferable in a lot of levels. Insufferable. You kind of had the one team that wasn't until Kyrie got here. And now you deal with all this bull crap.
Okay, but what's the goal?
To have a likable team or a championship team?
Right. If you want the likable team, great. Go to Indiana. Seriously.
Go to Denver.
Move to Indiana. Move to Indiana. Go to Indianapolis. You can watch the games in the Conseco Fieldhouse or whatever the stupid-ass name of that place is.
Or bring back the Bridgies.
Now, yeah, folks,
go to Utah. Go to Salt Lake. You can go there, too.
Not only now do we hate all your teams, you now have to move. You now have to move.
Leave. Go. Go to the cornfields of Indiana. Go. In fact, on weekends, on Saturdays, you can watch Butler basketball, too, while you're at it. Who gives a rat's ass if they're likable? It's about winning. If they win, you'll like them. You'll like them a lot. Holy crap, I can't believe that. I'd rather have a likable team than win. This is the problem with Celtics fans.
Would you acknowledge that the NBA and a lot of this stuff is insufferable?
Yes, it's part of the deal. And let me tell you, if you want to win in any market, it's the same thing. It's LeBron or Kawhi Leonard or Paul George or Russell Westbrook. They're all pains in the asses, every one of them. Kristaps Porzingis is a pain in the ass too, and I got news for you. Relative to the time, Larry Bird was a pain in the ass too.
Not like this.
And
you
don't
keep
kid
doing
yourself.
This. It wasn't. He never leveraged the team to get a certain
bull
player.
Oh, crap, he didn't.
He didn't?
He leveraged Jimmy Rogers. He absolutely leveraged Jimmy Rogers with the whole point forward crap. He got the coach fired.
Well, this is at the end you're talking about.
I don't care when it was. He was a pain in the ass. And I'm telling you, the scale was different. So it wasn't as obvious as it is now. Bird was every bit the egomaniacal, controlling pain in the ass as a star player as anyone else was.
As LeBron?
No, again, I said relative to the scale. You're telling me Jordan was a pain in the ass and didn't run the Bulls?
Like
Magic
this.
Got a coach fired out in L.A. They all did. It's part of the deal in that league. So accept it.
All right, Celtics fan, here we go. Take out all the contracts, all things being equal. You could have both long-term. Who would you rather have, Jason Tatum or Anthony Davis? Again, Maz, I say they go 51-49 Jason Tatum.
52-48.
Murray?
I said 70-30.
Stu?
Would you like the poll results or my prediction?
We would like, no, because you have the poll results in front of you. Now the exit polling, let's see how this plays out. Go.
1,310 votes. 76% say Anthony Davis.
Wow.
Thank you.
So I win.
No, he said 3/4.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I wasn't paying attention.
When hosts aren't listening.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
I was at 52.
Grab that, Jimmy.
I thought that was the winner.
Can you give the Celtics fan a little more credit now?
No, not yet. Nope. I want to see what actually happens when they make the deal.
So they're actually kind of smart. It's like, we acknowledge Davis is the better piece, but with the risk for just 1 year, it's not worth the talent of Jason Tatum. That's exactly how I feel.
I want to see more of those poll results trickle in. The last guy, holy crap, I'd rather have a team I can like. Great, let's get the Hickory High Hawks or whatever their stupid-ass name was. Let's get them here. You like BC? Because they're probably a likable team. They suck.
Murray's update is right now, and we're right back with more.
Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Real quick before we get back to the phones, Murray mentioned there in the update, Pats are going to hire Greg Schiano as the defensive coordinator. I hate this.
So do I.
I hate it. I don't know if it's going to matter. So let me just say that up front. Like, I don't know if it's going to matter. Because listening to Bedard yesterday, was it really Brian Flores or was it Bill Belichick that really retooled the defense this year in their approach? They seem to indicate, Bedard and the players he talked to seem to indicate it was Bill, not Florence. Or Flores, excuse me. So if Bill's really running the show and he is, what's the difference? Whether it's Greg Schiano or Greg Brady or Brian Flores or Brian Robb, it doesn't matter, right? And the division sucks and you're going to be in the AFC title game. Like, so I'm not telling you it's going to matter. Say up front, I know it's not going to make a difference, but I hate it. Why do you hate it, Murray?
I just think it reeks of nepotism and helping out a buddy. Yes. And for these guys that are working behind the scenes hour after hour and never seeing their families, and Brian Flores was one of these guys, and clearly it worked out for him as he's now the new head coach of the Dolphins. But you know, Josh Boyer, the cornerback's coach, or someone else there, you don't want to hire within. I just think that's kind of a bad look for these guys that have been grinding for you year after year after year.
It's just a Belichick bobo. Just another one of his buddies.
I mean, to me, it's the appearance of it. Now you got, what, Brett Bielema and Greg Schiano here in the last 2 years? So I just think, you know, to me, this is when the Patriots start to get in trouble, is that Bill starts to put his own personal, you know, agenda ahead of the team. This is when they start. Now, and again, nothing may happen. I have no idea. You know, but I sort of like the idea of them doing it from within the way they have over the years. That has worked for them.
It's just taking care of a buddy. I mean, these two guys have been taking care of each other for years. For years. Bill fell in love with him for some reason at the end of the last decade and started drafting his players like crazy. Like they were going out of style. And to repay him, Greg Schiano let Steven walk onto the team in long snap. He was a Rutgers long snapper for a year, I think. Because Schiano repays the favor. And now here it comes where Bill's repaying that favor. So we're just repaying favors? As opposed to, you know, again, I don't know if it's going to matter. Do you know how many effing Rutgers guys and Schiano guys have come through here? I mean, we all know the guys at the top of the list, like Devin McCourty, Daron Harmon, Logan Ryan, guys like that. Jason McCourty also went to Rutgers. You know, Tyquan Underwood went to Rutgers. Do you know, we always wondered, what the hell is the fascination with Kenny Britt? Why do they keep bringing him in? He played for Schiano at Rutgers. Did you know that?
Nope.
I knew he was a Rutgers guy. Yeah,
I mean, doesn't that explain that? It's like, it's a Schiano guy. Wait, we're like, what pitchers does Kenny Britt have with Bill with Barnyard Animals that keep allowing, that keep getting Kenny Britt back here in camp? Schiano guy. Let me just go, remember the linebacker, Jonathan Freeney?
Sure.
Rutgers guy. Remember the Logan Mankins trade? It was Tampa, right? I think it was Schiano. That's how we got Tim Wright.
Tim Wright was a Rutgers guy?
Tim Wright was not only a Schiano Buccaneer guy, Tim Wright was a Schiano Rutgers guy.
Wow.
He was a double Rutger. I don't know what they call those guys.
You know how many fans tried to shove Tim Wright down my throat at the time of that deal? Like all of a sudden they had acquired the next, you know, great pass-catching tight end.
Okay, so Schiano left Rutgers in 2011. So they did a bunch of things in 2013 with Rutgers guys. So I assume that they were Shiano recruits and he had coached those players for a year or two.
Sure.
So, but they were definitely Shiano guys at one point. In 2013, Daron Harbin and Logan Ryan were drafted. Then they brought in a wide receiver named Mark Harrison, undrafted free agents. A linebacker named Brandon Jones, undrafted free agent. Have you ever heard of the defensive end, Justin Francis? He was actually on the team.
I remember that name, sure.
2012, Shiano guy, Rutgers guy. Remember the linebacker, Steve Boharnes?
Oh, yeah.
2013 draft, Matt Chatham wasted about 2 hours of broadcast every game in the preseason for something named Steve Boharnes. Rutgers guy, Shiano guy. Forget LeGarrette Blount, played for Shiano with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As Chauncey pointed out today on Twitter, that Shiano drove out Darrell Revis, clearing the way here. So it's just these two guys, Bill and Shiano, like taking care of each other. Or Shiano called Bill, give this guy a shot. He's a good kid. So next thing you know, we got something named Steve Boharnes or Justin
Francis.
No, there was Justin Francis. Kevin Haglum? I can't read my own writing.
Don't remember him.
Offensive tackle, Rutgers guy. Mark Harrison, receiver, Rutgers guy. So, yeah, Bill, give this Mark Harrison. He's a good kid. All right, next thing you know, he's here. It's just sort of annoying. I don't know if it makes a difference. I'm not telling you it makes a difference. Just do you like that optic or do you not like that optic? I have no use for that optic. And I don't know. Shiano, obviously, you know, he's had a bunch of decent NFL players. Like, this I'll give to him for, you know, for a mid-tier sort of program. Did he also have Rice? How am I blanking on the name? The running back from the
Ray Rice.
Ray Rice. Wasn't that a Shiano guy?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I would say yes, right?
So Jason McCourty, Devin McCourty, Kenny Britt, Ray Rice, Daron Harmon, Logan Ryan. That's not bad for a little mid-tier program. He produced some players. I'll give him that. But when he got to the pros, he was an abject disaster. He was a clown in Tampa. And so what has he done since he pumped out some players from Rutgers?
Nothing.
No, that's it.
Nothing for like 5 years, 6 years.
You know, now that
Sanu went there too, I think, right?
Sanu, very good. Yeah, that's another one.
Now that I think of it, wasn't there a story that Brett Bielema said he was going to be the next defensive coordinator?
No, well, Bolin said that Bielema was telling people at the...
during Super Bowl week, he was going around crowing like, it's going to be my job, womp womp.
Oh, that ought to bode well. A couple of friends of Bill on the staff.
So I'm just telling you, it's like, I don't... Is it going to matter? I don't know. Probably not with the way these guys operate and the way it's going here, and you know, the way the competition is. It's probably not going to matter. But Greg Shiano, I mean, would you come on?
He just comes off as such a hard ass. And again, for all those guys that have been working for Bill and grinding for him day after day, hour after hour, to have this guy just come in and get this gig like this, I just think, I think it's a bad look.
Paul Perillo coming in at 4. I did that specifically so I didn't have to sit here and listen to that and be blamed for something we said.
It was very considerate.
That was done on our time. If Paul were here, he would defend it vehemently and defend the organization at every turn because he's a patriot. Paul at 4, your phone's next in our long commercial-free segment.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help Line ma.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Why would a team like the Clippers, or even the Celtics for that matter, if they were involved in the process, take a chance on someone who could possibly just be a rental?
Well, that's what Rich Paul wants everybody to believe.
Oh.
That's his strategy.
Uh-huh.
But the teams in the league believe that Anthony Davis, this isn't a final decision.
Oh.
It was just a couple of weeks ago he was talking about how he was dedicated to the Pelicans and wanted to finish out the season strong. He changed his mind. There are teams who believe he can change his mind again, and they believe that that will make him more available in the summer. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think what's going on with Anthony Davis and his representatives right now, it's almost like a political campaign.
Tell me more.
They're saying whatever they want to say and whatever they can say until voting day, which is tomorrow. Once that day passes, I think we'll see a change in rhetoric.
Well, the Celtics definitely feel that way. There's more teams that feel that way. Delusional. Delusional. He's being manipulated by the agent, I hear. He's being manipulated by LeBron's guy. He chose LeBron's guy. He chose LeBron's guy. He wasn't drafted like a military draft into Clutch Sports. He chose Clutch Sports. Why did he choose Clutch Sports? Because he wants to get to L.A. and play with LeBron. If he didn't want to get to L.A. and play with LeBron, he'd have another agent or have kept the guy that he had. What's so hard to figure out? So is it possible he could change his mind? Sure, of course. Anything's possible, but I'm not banking on that. I'm not giving up a real asset banking on that. I'm not giving up Jason Tatum, you know, hoping that he changes his mind. Jimmy, give me the poll results of the two, because Paul's about to come in. Give me the poll results of the two different questions that we asked, because they're two distinct questions.
So first, would you trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis without the assurance that Davis would be a member of the Celtics beyond this season? 26% of people say yes, 74% say no.
That's held the entire day, three quarters.
And that's 8,866 respondents.
Okay, next question.
Who would you rather have long term? 3,298 votes have been cast. 69% say Anthony Davis.
Ooh, that's coming down.
Yeah, from 72, it's dropped 3%.
3%. That's a big move by the exit polling.
I feel like there's spite votes on there to make me mad.
I agree with that, Murray.
Seriously. It's way higher than I thought. I didn't think Celtics fans had it in them to pick Anthony Davis over Jason Tatum. Maybe they have some semblance of a clue.
Okay, zip through some calls here. Christian in Norwood on the Davis stuff. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, I'd love to have Davis here, but if it's only for 1 year, I don't think it's worth the cost. So, I mean, I'd rather see Danny Ainge ultimately kind of make a trade, ideally centered around Hayward to loosen up the money, but go after a guy like Drummond or Jordan that are going to get you the 15 rebounds a game that this team lacks.
So two things. Doesn't fit the system because those guys don't shoot threes, and they don't want anyone who you don't have to defend on the offensive side of the floor. So I love those guys. I'd love one of those players. They don't. Not realistic for them. And they're not trading Gordon Hayward. I still don't believe that. Who would take that contract with the way he's looked?
Nobody.
We talked about baseball before, discussing and negotiating out some new rules coming next year or at the latest the year after in exchange for a 20-second pitch clock and a three-batter minimum for pitchers. Okay, no more lefty specialists, Paul. No more junk-balling lefties who come in. Tony Foss is coming and get one batter and then go back to the dugout.
Oh, I love this so much.
You got to face three guys. In exchange for that, they're going to give the players a 26-man roster, which means 30 more jobs. They're going to make the designated hitter universal. They're going to do a single trade deadline before the All-Star break. They're going to tweak the draft to promote more competitive play. So I feel like there's some horse trading there, and it feels like this stuff is coming. Sean in Connecticut wanted to weigh in on that story. Go ahead, Sean.
I did. First of all, don't forget that cartoon luminary Mr. Magoo went to Rutgers, where he pioneered blind allegiance to the Patriot way. I like the idea of making the relievers face three batters, but I think you should also balance the in-game strategy by not allowing pinch hitters during that, you know, until that third batter has been faced.
Okay. Does pinch hitting slow down the game?
No.
Doesn't do it.
No, and again, I like this even better. Can we get rid of the bums who can only get out one guy?
The junk balling lefty who comes in for one batter, Paul.
Yes, and the other thing is, I like the impact or the ripple effect that could have on strategy. Now you got to bring in some complete S bum out of the bullpen and put him on the mound because all he can do is get out a lefty. But so you bring him in for the bottom of the order. Great, and you do it in the sixth inning. Maybe now the opposing manager sends his righty up there to hit at the bottom of the order in the sixth inning because he can't do it in the eighth.
And there's also, he can face one batter if it's the end of the inning. So if there's two outs or one out, he can only face two batters. He doesn't have to face the three batters if he gets out of the inning.
Right.
So there's another little wrinkle there.
Right.
Maybe you have that situational lefty for two outs and a lefty at bat, and then you're clean in the inning, and you just have to manage that whole thing.
Which is why I also like it in tandem with the roster changes, which is if you're going to carry 26 guys on a roster, fine, but only 12 pitchers. We don't want you carrying some bum lefty as your 26 guys so you can pitch him to some piece of crap at the end of the inning. No, I want the players exposed. This is my point. And when I say exposed, I don't mean like shown to be bums, although that is a tangential benefit. I would say that I want them out there on the field to win or lose the game. Right now, the games are too much in the hands of the managers. I hate that.
Adam and Lowell, what do you got on the Celtics?
Hey, guys. I feel like Tatum is leaps and bounds better than any of the young Lakers talent, but I was wondering where Brown fits in between, you know, Kuzma and Ingram and Ball, like if you had to rank them. And also, I'd be fine with trading Tatum for Anthony Davis if there was even, like, a coin flip chance he'd resign. But the door's absolutely closed. I don't know how many more times, even if we trade for him, he might not play for us. He might just say, I'm going to sit. Like, screw you guys.
Thanks,
guys.
I don't know if it's that bad, Adam, but you're right to say, like, how many more things do he and his father have to say or do to get it through your skull that he wants to go to the Lakers and he doesn't want to come here? I mean, he doesn't want to come. I'm not saying he hates it here or would never come here, but he doesn't want to come here. It's obvious. And like there's just the green teamers or maybe other teams, according to that Windhorse report, that say, well, you know, he's prone to change his mind. It's just like, wow, where are you getting that from? Jaylen Brown, would you rather have Kuzma or Jaylen Brown?
So, look, I haven't seen enough of Kuzma to know.
Hey, Jimmy Stewart.
I asked around a little. I'm told it's a coin flip.
I'd say Kuzma because he's more of a consistent scoring threat, but not by much.
Who's a better prospect, Kuzma or Jaylen Brown?
I think Kuzma is.
How about the Hart kid?
I like him a lot, but I don't think that I would probably take Jaylen Brown over Josh Hart.
Okay. Lonzo Ball?
Brown. Ugh.
Brown.
Ingram?
Brown.
Ingram.
Yeah, I think I would go Brown on that.
I would go Ingram because of the potential, but Jaylen Brown's proven more right now.
So all I'm telling you is, so it's debatable, right? And your draft picks are getting worse by the day because Sacramento porked you this year. They're decent. And they're a mid-first rounder. The Memphis thing, you have to wait 2 years for it to become unprotected. So what are you really giving up there? Your draft picks are a little better than the Lakers, but not, I mean, not as much as it felt like it was going to be at the beginning of the year. So, if I'm the Pelicans, I'm not waiting for Jaylen Brown in your draft picks. I'm waiting for Tatum. That's the whole point. Wait for Tatum.
No, it's got to be Tatum. Tatum is the piece that gives you the clear edge over everybody else. Because if you were to say young tradable players in the league who you could pick whoever you want off any roster, you know, et cetera,
yeah.
Okay? I mean, there's certain guys that are never going to get dealt. But Tatum's one of the ones that teams would most desire.
Okay, so I had two little side questions. One was, or topics, and one is just how badly the Lakers and the Sixers effed up the top of that draft. If the Lakers had just drafted Tatum at two instead of Ball, they don't have to go through any of this. They got Anthony Davis. It's done. Except they wanted to take the local kid from UCLA, and then we don't even have to get to Philadelphia, Markelle Fultz. My God, trade up to get that. Mental case. If the Lakers had just taken Tatum instead of Ball at two, they don't have to go through any of this. Bad is that a mess up? Here's another thing. I guess this is Adam Jones' side of the street, and you know what? I don't want to do this now because we're going to talk to Perillo and the Malou Patriots. But did Ainge screw up the Rose Rule at one point? Do you think Ainge knew the Rose Rule when he first traded for Kyrie Irving? Did he know when he traded for Kyrie in the summer of 2017 that he was blocking his ability to get Anthony Davis until Kyrie's contract expired? Do you think he knew it? Because no one knew that rule. I mean, none of us. Do you think he knew that rule?
I would hope.
I don't know.
Good question.
There are so many archaic and, you know, just the NBA salary cap minutiae.
That's awful.
I mean, I can't expect even a league executive to know every. You've got to have some nerd in there that's got to know that all, some lawyer. But do you think Ainge knew about the Rose Rule when he traded for Kyrie? And the question would be, if you did know about the Rose Rule, should you have held off on Kyrie until you knew you had Davis first? You know, did the Celtics know? I guess Adam Jones has been asking this. I think he's been answering it. Like Ainge,
that seems,
you know,
like a Jonesian
Ainge
take.
Blew it. You know, Ainge is supposed to know everything. I'm just curious if Ainge knew it when he traded for Kyrie, because no one knew until it just like trickled out in the last 6 months, right? Like, this sort of been a new development. But did he know at the time? Did the Celts know at the time? I'm curious about that. We'll pick that up at 5 o'clock. But coming up next, it's Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly. All you football people have been waiting on
Nikola
the line.
Nikola Jokic? And Yusef Nurkic.
You've been waiting on the line patiently, Jones. Just settle down. So all that Patriots callers can sit tight. We got Paul Perillo coming in right
now. And maybe, kind of, I could get Nurkic.
Right after this update, no commercials. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.